Mark 3:35. Oh, wait, y'all forgot that I do public speaking, but when I teach, I get a little nervous. I'm like, Don, my hands are sweating, I'm talking fast. Let me hurry up and get y'all through it. Okay, Mark 3:25. And if a house be divided against itself, that it can, I'm reading the same one. Y'all still not there? Mark 3:25, say amen.
Amen.
And if a house be divided against itself, that house cannot stand. Second scripture reference, say amen when you get there. Mark 3:35. For whosoever do the will of God, the same is my brother and my sister and my mother. So now let's talk about the human body. And in the body, every part has a job. So they all work together for the greater good. You have two eyes so you could see. But if you hurt one of your eyes and you have to wear a patch over one, then the other eye strains to keep up because now it's doing the job of two, when that's not what it's made to do. Maybe now you're thinking, I can go without an eye for a while. But now, because you have one eye, you're moving your neck around more because you can only use that one eye. And now you have a neck pain. Now that your neck is moving so much, your shoulders are carrying the weight and the heaviness from the strain of your eye. Of course, because the neck pain moves into your back and your upper back and your lower back, and then your hips and your leg and your knee and your foot and blah, blah, blah. Y'all know what I'm getting at. Well, now I want to take a look at how the body is affected, even if a direct body part wasn't named. Because the eye strain, now you have dry eyes and double vision and then a headache, and from that comes a migraine. Migraine has sensitivity to light, sound, smell, and then it comes stomach pain. And now we're feeling nauseous and faint, and now our body is barely functioning because we didn't properly take care of our issues and we can't focus or concentrate. So now I'm sure you know what I'm getting at within all this body talk. It takes one of us to affect another before we're all affected in some way, shape, or form. 1 Corinthians 12:12-27, you don't have to go there because I'm not reading it. I'm going to reference it, okay? It references this exact same thing about how we're one body and we have many members, but we're all baptized through one spirit, and we all need each other to function properly as one. That there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. And whether or not one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member be honored, then all the members rejoice with it. In this body, we have a lot of competition, which sometimes on game night in XYZ seems really fun. Until you realize we're not just competing in a game to know our Bible studies. We think we're in competition with each of our brothers and sisters when really we're in the same fight. And if the battle was already won, we should be complimenting and working with one another and cheering each other on to help the common goal. Instead, we're trying to be better than, comparing ourselves and trying to obtain what someone else has. God created each and every one of us specifically and designed for the role that he lined up perfectly for us to play. You're competing with someone when you have a whole different job, does nothing but cause strife, envy, comparison, when really if you just played your role and be obedient to God, everything else will fall in line. Competing with one another will do nothing but divide, and a house divided will not stand. When I used to give announcements about coming to men and women's fellowship, instead of screaming all together as a body, I would, I would say, every Thursday we're doing men's fellowship, and all the men would be like, woo! And then all the ladies would be, I'm like, okay, ladies' fellowship. The ladies would be like, woo! So one day, JZL came to me, and he gave me a word that I needed to stop doing that. Really, we were competing to see who was the loudest, and it was all in good fun seeing who was going to represent. But when I got the word, it was because it was really creating division between the men and the women within the body. Although that was never my intention, I could see how I was promoting and encouraging who was more faithful when really we should be working and praying for one another when we fall short. God has a role and a position for everyone, and if everyone would seek God's face and was obedient, we will fall in line to where there would be no schisms within our body. Jair and Stephanie taught lessons and talked about competing before. And when Stephanie did some interactive talks, there was some pride in the responses. And pride is a vine that produces a multitude of evil fruits that gets us nowhere close to producing the glory that God deserves and requires for us to be faithful servants and children of the Most High. We're a powerful force when we all work together and when we play our own positions. God has called all of us to our own particular job that we were created for, and if he chose us, why not know that our position that he appointed to us is the perfect role for us? Not only does he not get the glory by you trying to fill a role that wasn't yours or competing, but he can't have you walk in your fullness and abundance of life to get what he has for you. Who will do your job if you're too busy trying to fill someone else's role? Last year, a group of us were playing Music League. Music League is a game on the phone to where you get a category, you pick the song best suited for the category, you drop it in, and then later you vote to see who had the best song. So we were playing for bragging rights and who put in the better songs, and it was fun. But after some time playing, we started to notice not everyone was listening to the songs that were submitted. The songs would be submitted and the playlist would download, and then 5 minutes later, 5 minutes, like one song is 5 minutes, people would be have voted. What if, like, I'm pretty sure you did not listen to all 12 songs. You do not know every song on that playlist, I'm just saying. So people just voted off the songs that they knew, and then the songs that they didn't, they skipped over. But really what I learned was it was about listening to the music and maybe you find something new that God has for you in it. We were so busy trying to win when really there were songs that we never heard before that were worthy of winning, but we didn't take the time to do it. If you know Jair, he has a very specific taste in music that you have to be acquired to. So my kids will get in my car, and if they hear something that's off my normal music type, because if you know me, my song's got a knock, automatically they'll go, "What is this Jair music?" And one thing I learned by playing Music League was Jair's kind of onto something. Once I sit back and listen to the playlist, there was music that I did take back that was good. But I would have never normally voted for those songs. I give a song 10 seconds to grab me, and if it don't knock and it don't grab me, skip. Who knows what the words are saying? Who knows about, like, it could have had a great message. Skip. No, thank you. So because I started listening to the playlist, I started to get something out of it. Now, Jair will even get in my car, and he'll look at me confused and go, "What is this Jair music doing in your car?" But because I took the time to listen and not let it be about me winning, I had to become selfless to get into the instance to where God was really trying to give something to me. There was a point in time when we had the five percenters. 5% of people always doing the work at each function, and everyone else going on about their business as if they were a guest in the house of the Lord in the body that you're in, and it wasn't a residence. If you look at the fruit during our fellowships now, we've come a long way from just being the 5% working. But now, it's time to step it up and play your role as the crops are coming in. Being selfless and accepting the invitations to be a part of God's glory is a necessary move forward to grow. And the question is, are you willing? Are you willing to play your role? Are you willing to do what's necessary? When you don't play your part, someone else has to overcompensate. They get burned out, or they get to a point to where they no longer can just do. Now you have a Sister J, a strong pillar in the body, unable to do the work until the rest of us catch up and do our part. What would it look like if all the main pillars in the church were all on pause? Would we sit there and spiritually die because no one was feeding us or doing the work that we should be doing ourselves? Luke 6, 20 through 49, don't have to go there. I'm going to reference it. Talks about when you're putting in the work, now how, when you put in the work now, how it'll pay off later, that God will add all things to you and the fruit will show, and you will be blessed. If you cry now, you'll laugh later. Later will come, and those who play and not do the work now will laugh now and cry later and long for God, and they will see the lack of fruit when it comes time. to love their enemies and bless them and show them kindness and to do good to those who hate you, that those who build their foundation on the rock will be secure and not shaken. So since we're on the topic of competing, sometimes when you compete with someone, the person that you compete with and necessarily have, or the person that you compete with and have strife with, you think is your enemy now, but they're not necessarily got to be your arch nemesis. I can remember a time where Stephanie taught a lesson saying your enemy is someone that you don't always agree with. So at any point in time, anyone could be your enemy, and it all depends on your perspective. Your mind is where it starts, and your tongue is where it comes from, and out of your mouth it starts, but the heart is where it really comes from and goes to your mind. And those of you, in the heart comes to your mind, and then out of your mouth. Then you let it, keep reading the same thing. Or for those of you who don't say it, but your face does, because we know we got some of those. Just because you're not saying it, you thought it, which is also sin. And these thoughts we're having are tearing apart each other from within. We have had some really good lessons go forth. And in my lesson, God is bringing them all back to my remembrance. Sister Jay taught a lesson on capturing your thoughts. We should go back and grab a hold of that lesson. When Sister Stephanie taught a series of lessons and touched on competing and thinking we were each other's enemies, she also talked about how a lot of things we think are going on are really made up. And we can move and go forward by having hard conversations, and from it comes understanding, most times realizing misinformation and misunderstanding led by our thoughts. Sometimes people don't want to have the hard conversations due to fear. With fears, you have doubt and unbelief, and you go into fight or flight. And when you do, God is no longer in control of writing your story, and now you hold the pen and you have made yourself the author. You start making up stories of what you think happened and scenarios and other people's thoughts and actions and who did what and why they did it and so on and so forth. Worship, prayer, and fasting are critical roles in doing the work to obtain the kingdom. And sometimes you got to pull out those same spiritual weapons for yourself if you're letting your flesh decide what you're willing to do. We are worried about one another when our real enemy, the devil, wants to damage God's church. And what a better way to tear us apart from within and lure us into sin within the body. He knows to divide us to conquer, and we cannot be a house divided within itself. His task is to kill, steal, and destroy, but that is not God's will. 1 Peter 5:8-10, just so y'all know, y'all, I've been studying scripture, which is why I have so many references. Y'all don't got to go there. I'm just saying. Be sober and be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resists steadfast in faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in the brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. You are not the only one suffering. And the sooner that we realize we're in it together and we're not enemies and do God's work instead of our own, the sooner we can see God's hand in our lives. Way back when, God gave us a word that everyone is not going to make it. And since that word has been given, I look around and I see the many faces that are no longer here. I see the new faces in place of someone else's where they used to sit. And I know the word of God still stands today, and no one is exempt. If you're not here for God and bringing glory to the kingdom, your real intentions will show themselves. If you're not willing to be purified, you won't be able to reside in pure apostolic works. If you're not willing to be refined, God will spew you out of this place, and every plant that he did not plant shall be rooted up. Being chosen is great. It feels good to know that you've been selected, but at this point, it's not about being chosen, but if you choose to answer the call or accept the invitation, if you will. Sometimes when you answer the call, you may have to do things you don't want to do or things you don't think you're ready for. Not subduing to the drama, but letting it rectify you to come out stronger. Knowing that the thorn in your side will make you better, and the storm that you're meant in is to define you, not destroy you. We need to make room and clear the room and clean our hearts to love, because if we're focused on us, How can we have a real revival? How can we help people coming in who need everything that God has already given us? Every soul is precious, and he died for all. And John 13:35 says that they will know you by the love that you have for one another. After Stephanie taught that lesson about your enemy not always being your enemy, but someone you don't agree with, it really stuck with me. And in December, I was telling her about some issues I had at work, and she gave me this list of things to pray for your enemies. And when she told me about it, I was like, oh yeah, send it to me. Can't wait. Send it right over. But then when it got to my phone and I started reading it, I closed my phone back. And I personally think Stephanie is the nicest person. So I closed it and I laughed and was like, Stephanie would send me that list because that is crazy. And I just knew that that was a sign to where I knew I just wasn't right, because it was a list of really nice stuff to pray for your enemy, like 31 kind things, like something to pray every single day. And I was really looking over the list like, Jesus, I'm supposed to pray what for who? No, thank you. So I'm not really sure what I expected, seeing that it came from Stephanie. But at the current time, I had just completed a 3-month run on walking in love in 30 days a year. I realized I still had a lot of work to do. Originally, I definitely looked and I thought that I love people. I mean, we're talking about me. I love people. But God said different. I said, how could I not be walking in love? I have the fruit. You know, I walk in the fruit of love. And it absolutely made no sense to me. And as I came about, God told me that I love the people that I want to love, and that everyone else I'm tolerant of, but I don't necessarily love them. One revelation he gave me was a picture in my room, in my own house, on my wall. All throughout my house, there's references to God or scripture, but particularly in my room, there's a picture that says the fruit of the Spirit is love. Joy is love's strength. Peace is love's security. Patience is love's long-suffering. Kindness is love's conduct. Goodness is love's character. Faithfulness is love's confidence. Gentleness is love's humility. And self-control is love's victory. Then he revealed to me that I don't really require all those things for everyone. So then he had me listen to Torn Wells Afraid with you, like every single day I came into this building. Before service, in my car or out in the lobby, I would be sitting there listening to Afraid with you. And originally, that was a J.R. song for me. I did not like it. Matter of fact, it got no play in my ride. Every time it came on, skip. But this time, when God told me to listen to it, I was crying. Because I know that God was speaking right to me. Specifically, the part at the end, of the song. So then one day I'm on the phone with Annette, and I'm venting about how I just can't get it right. I just keep thinking that I walk in love, but clearly I'm not, and I just don't understand, and I was reaching out for a lifeline in prayer. And then we got off the phone, and she sent me something that said, the ultimate show of love isn't loving Jesus, it's loving Judas. And when I read it, it didn't really quite register. I rolled my eyes and was like, that's crazy. And shortly after I continued, God gave me more and more revelation, how I was picking and choosing who I was going to love. And when God told me to change it, I said, no thanks. I'm not really ready. I made excuses. I gave examples to him of why I shouldn't have to. And then from that moment on, God showed me how I was blocking my own blessings, holding my own self back from receiving what he has for me, because I knew where I needed to get, but my flesh put up a fight, and I was choosing my flesh. He reminded me how he knew Judas would betray him, but he still loved him and called him friend. And my response was, dang, Lord, you tight! And I am certainly not you. And he was like, but you want to be like me, right? And I said yes, but in my Annette voice, you're doing too much for me with your attitude. It was too much. But the straw that really broke the camel's back, and I knew I had to make the right decision and let my spirit be stronger than my flesh, was when he dropped 1 John 4:8 on me. 1 John 4:8. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. And then everything changed for me. Because not me not going knowing God, not him telling me, depart from me, I never knew you, you worker of sin. I told myself I wasn't ready to love people that I didn't want to love, that I felt wrong by. But was I ready for him to tell me to depart from me? At that point, I knew and I made the choice that I was going to walk in love, because the end goal was bigger than me, and I was just a piece of the puzzle, and I was going to be used as a final piece. There's a quote that if you want to go fast, go alone, but if you want to go far, go together. We need each other. We can't make it alone, and we weren't made to not be one. We're much stronger together, and it's time that we get witted or get lost, because eventually you'll have no place if God cannot use you. It's time to show up and show out for what God's called you to do, to bring glory to his name. To stay ready so you don't have to get ready, because he will come as a thief in the night, and you won't have time to repent, prepare, or get it right. We have practice for the dress rehearsal. We should still be continuing to do so because we know not the time. We should be continuing to do so, for we not know the time. We should be saying yes to God and walking in our calling and moving out of obedience. The consortium will require us to work with one another, to complement one another, to share skills, experience, and expertise, and to be a show of how we display ourselves for the kingdom of God. Once upon a time, I used to have beef with God. Y'all know my sister Aria over there? When we first came into this building, you know, right now we do everything together, but when we first moved into this building, during tithes and offering, I would go to hug her, and she would stand there like this. And I would hug her, and I would say, God bless you. And she would respond, I don't like you. And week after week after week, I would do the exact same thing. We were running back every week. And look at us now. Now, I know you're thinking, that's wild. Y'all come such a long way. And I bet you're thinking, I'm good. I don't have any of that going on here. But really, it's more so the subtle beef you have with him about it. The be nice and smile on your face, but the mind has taken over your thoughts of what you think about someone, so you don't engage, but you tolerate, and you're holding back something that God could be trying to do for you because of your mindset. You can't flourish and let God have the glory for that. So at this point, I'd like to talk about me and Sister Brooke's story. So the first time I ever met Sister Brooke was at Ladies Fellowship. Before coming to church, I was in counseling with Jay Marquise, and Jay was Bible studying me and discipling me, and I was good with Jay. And then she was like, you should come to church. You should come to fellowship. And I was like, maybe. So one day she convinced me to come to fellowship, and when I get there, we pull up and we park behind Don's house, and there's a sign there that says, no parking, tollway zone. So I call Jay from my car, and she's in her car, and I said, why are we parking here? It says, don't park here. You're going to get towed. She goes, girl, we've been doing this for 2 years. Ain't nobody ever got towed. Every Friday night, we park here. So go ahead and let it ride. So I said, okay. So I went inside, and I was meeting all the ladies, and I was sitting back, and I was being observant, and I was just seeing what everybody was like. You know, when you come somewhere and you don't know nobody, so you just be quiet and watch. That's what I was doing. So maybe like 30 minutes into us sitting down there chopping it up, Brooke decides to mention somebody's car is outside getting towed. Sure enough, I'm like, whose car is it? And Brooke's like, it was a blue truck. Jordan had a blue truck. Jordan definitely had a blue truck who was not getting towed. But turns out my truck got towed. I go outside. Sure enough, it's gone. And I'm upset, clearly, because not me trying to come to this thing that you done been inviting me for months. My car got towed. It ain't here. This girl over here sat there for 30 minutes and didn't say nothing. Knowing dang well everybody parked there every Friday, right? Seen my car getting towed, didn't say nothing. So that ended the night early for fellowship for me because I needed to go get my vehicle. After that, I eventually started coming to church and I was in the body. So months and months and months and months and months later, Sister Brooke was talking and she says to someone, she's saying something about how for months. And I kind of started to think about it like, no, I didn't notice, but now it makes sense. It's kind of making some sense now. I ain't really, yeah, we haven't said not one word. We would hug during, you know, greeting and not say nothing. So after that, there was another situation that happened where some things transpired at Brooke's baby shower, and she felt like that myself and some other individuals were trying to sabotage her baby shower. Because of this, right, I don't know if y'all know, but when you used to end up in the front office over there, like now y'all be in there playing dominoes and stuff, but it used to be when you end up in that front office, you was in trouble.